Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the epistle, you heard St. Paul urge Christians to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. It's as if St. Paul had just gotten done reading the account that you heard from today's gospel. Because the very thing that Jesus both taught and demonstrated in the gospel is what Paul urged of his listeners and readers. In the gospel, Jesus had been invited to a banquet, to a meal on a Sabbath day at a Pharisee's house, and it says that they were watching him closely there, not in lowliness, not in gentleness, not with long-suffering, not in love. They were watching him closely in order to trap him in something that he said or did. But still, they were watching. They were listening. And so Jesus bore with them in love and taught them. The first lesson came with that man who came before Jesus who had dropsy. Dropsy, a disease of swelling of the body as fluids flow into places that they're not supposed to flow into and cause a person's body to swell in various places and can be very painful. The man came to Jesus, and Jesus could have just healed him right away, but instead he knew that the Pharisees were watching. He wasn't afraid of what they would do or afraid of what they would say. He wanted to teach them. He bore with them in long suffering, in patience, and wanted them to consider the question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? They had been saying no to that question for quite a while already, condemning Jesus for past occasions on which he had dared to do that terrible work of healing people, healing the sick and the demon-possessed on the Sabbath day. How dare he not rest? How dare he heal people? That had been their conclusion up to this point, and now the sick man is standing right in front of them, and Jesus gives them the opportunity to explain to the sick man why Jesus shouldn't heal him right now. But for some reason, they're suddenly silent and can't say anything. They had forgotten what humility and gentleness, what lowliness is. They had abandoned mercy and compassion. They had turned the good Sabbath law into a loveless, joyless task to be checked off their religious scorecards. They had made it into a day for them to exalt themselves over others, at least in their own minds, by their strict obedience to God's command to rest. They had become just like their fathers were in the Old Testament, in the nation of Israel, in Isaiah's day, who ignored what God actually told them he wanted them to do, the service he wanted them to perform for their neighbor, and instead pretended that they were really serving God well and worshiping him and deserved his help because they were doing such great things like fasting. But God rebuked them through the prophet Isaiah. And his rebuke to them in the Old Testament would serve the exact same purpose in the place where Jesus was on the day when he spoke to the Pharisees. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you may break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. The Pharisees were hiding themselves from their sick brother with dropsy, hiding behind a Sabbath command so that they didn't have to help him. Not that they could actually help the man with dropsy, but Jesus could. And they didn't even want him to do it. But what gentleness on the part of Jesus. What lowliness and humility. God had come into their midst at that house that day, and yet instead of tearing into them for their indifference toward the sick man, instead of bringing judgment down on them for putting a religious facade on their hatred for their neighbor, Jesus humbles himself to teach them, to teach us what kindness looks like, what law-keeping looks like. Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? Well, of course you help your animal if it falls into a pit. You do that. You don't think twice about it. So, of course you should help your neighbor on the Sabbath day with his need if you are able. Of course it's lawful to heal on the Sabbath. In fact, you should be praising Jesus for doing this good thing that you aren't even able to do, to heal a man of his disease with a word. You should be praising him instead of condemning him. You should be believing in him instead of rejecting him. But they still couldn't admit to Jesus that he was right, even after watching him perform a miracle and listening to his sound scriptural reasoning. That's a powerful condemnation of those Pharisees. They saw Jesus' great love and kindness in action, combined with his divine healing power, combined with his flawless logic. And they still couldn't admit that he was right and that they had been wrong about the Sabbath, about themselves, and about him. No, forget about helping my neighbor, they thought. Forget about it. The Sabbath day is about me and my obedience, about me and my resting, about me and my right to sit in judgment of Jesus. Now let Jesus' kindness here toward the man with dropsy and toward the Pharisees stir you to love and to trust him. He has seen your own self-centeredness and self-importance when you have shown it, your lack of lowliness and gentleness. He has seen you hiding from your own flesh, making excuses for yourself about why you're right not to help your brother or sister in his or her need, why you're right not to honor and obey your parents. He calls you to repent and to believe in him who was lowly and gentle, kind and good in your place, who suffered and died for you in order that he might grant you the forgiveness of your sins. Now learn more of that same lesson from Jesus as he goes on with some much needed counsel to the guests at his banquet in that parable that he told. He watched the guests choosing the best places for themselves at this dinner, the places of honor. He watched them looking for their own honor and their own service more self-seeking, more self-serving, me first, I should get what I want. I'm going to take whatever I want. I deserve a place of honor. I deserve recognition more than these people around me. Jesus shows them how foolish they are, how foolish it is to seek honor for yourself above your fellow guests, when only the one who invited you all to his house has the right to bestow honor, when only his opinion counts in the first place. He can remove you from your self-chosen place of honor in an instant and shame you before your fellow guests. Or he can move you up. He can exalt you before your fellow guests. Which is better, to be humbled by the host or to be exalted by him? Isn't it better to let him exalt you? Isn't it only fitting and right that you should walk humbly before your God, trusting in him to notice you and to remember you and to have mercy on you in due time? If his opinion matters most, if his opinion matters only, then what does it matter to you if you don't get as much honor or as many earthly benefits as the people around you? What does it matter if you sit in last place for a long time, even for your whole earthly life, when you know what's coming in the life to come, when you have God's promise for what he will do to those who have been in the lowest place, who have humbled themselves before him, who have believed in him, to exalt you to the highest place together with Jesus? Just assume the lowest place and be happy there. As the psalmist prays, "For a day in your courts, O God, is better than 1,000. That is 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Jesus concludes his lesson in the gospel with these familiar words, which he speaks on more than one occasion. "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." That's not only what Jesus taught on this occasion, it's what he taught with his whole life. Because who has exalted himself but man over God? From Adam and Eve, who played God in the garden, to the idolaters who set up their own beliefs over God's word, to the false teachers who play God by substituting their lies for God's truth, to the murderers all over the country and all over the world who play God in taking the lives of people whose lives they have no right to take, to the adulterers and sexually immoral who play God by taking his gifts reserved for marriage and use them as they see fit, to the coveters who play God by setting their hearts on things God has not given, to the Pharisee in us all who thinks he is more righteous than his neighbor, and maybe even more righteous than God on some occasions. And who has humbled himself but the Son of God, who became man? From his humbling himself to become our brother and to live as a servant, to his humble dealings with sinners, to his suffering and death for our sins, even the death of a cross, Christ Jesus has humbled himself out of pure love, love for his Father and love for the human race. And now he has been exalted to the highest place and given the name that is above every name. Jesus is the one who walked humbly before God and man and has now been exalted. And now he calls out in the gospel, "Come to me." all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, you have heard his call to humble yourselves in repentance and to believe in him, the lowly and gentle one, for your salvation. You have been buried with him in baptism and raised to a new life to share in his exaltation too, all in good time. For now, learn from him. As St. Paul writes too, as he sat in prison, that's when he wrote the words that you heard to the Ephesians. As Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, wrote to them after having humbled himself in preaching the gospel and letting people abuse him and mock him and beat him and throw him in prison, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. This walking humbly before God and man is how Christians are to walk worthy of our calling, because we all share a common Lord, a common faith, a common baptism, where no one can exalt him or herself above anyone else, because Christ has humbled himself and been exalted. And we are now in him. Remember into whom you have been baptized. Remember his lowliness and gentleness and learn to imitate him. Seek the lowest place for yourself as Christ did for himself. And know that God will not abandon you there. As Paul writes to Timothy, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.